I want revival. I want folks to leave with glows on their face. The Spirit of God burning in their hearts like it's never held before. That's revival to me. People that stand up and say, I've never felt God like I have. That's revival. Amen. You pray with me tonight. Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 14. Try my best to help you. The Lord will help me. Revelation 3 and verse number 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou art cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. I know thy works. 1 Kings chapter number 18. 1 Kings chapter number 18. Verse number 1, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go shew thyself unto Ahab. Thou wast to reign upon the earth. And Elijah went to shew himself unto Ahab. There was a sore famine in Samaria. Verse number 17, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? He answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord. Thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send to gather to me all the Israel unto Mount Carmel, the prophets of Baal 450, the prophets of groves 400, amen, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together in the Mount Carmel. Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. The people answered him not a word. Stretch your hand this way. Say, Holy Ghost, help that preacher. Raise both your hands toward heaven and ask the Holy Ghost to fall on you tonight. Spirit of God, we ask you to take control of this service right now. Lord, every deacon, every Sunday school teacher, from the new convert to the oldest saint of God in this building, let the fire of heaven fall in our lives once again. Oh, Holy Ghost, I want you to rearrange me. Come on, talk to him tonight. Lord, I want you to touch my mind, touch my heart, touch my innermost being. God, do not stop till every part of me is one flame of fire. Oh, God, I'm needing you like I've never needed you before. We need your Holy Ghost power here tonight. Rearrange us, oh, God. Set on us. Oh, God, set on us. Set on us to everybody in this building. Leaves with burning desires and hunger for more of you than we've ever had before. We welcome you, Holy Ghost, in this place. Help us to worship the only begotten Son. We'll give you the praise and the honor. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Come on, let's praise Him tonight. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Come on. Amen. We can't have church without the power of God. Amen. You cannot worship without the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can say, thank you, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. But when the Spirit of God gets into your worship, you can praise and worship and magnify Him in ways you never thought that you could. When He comes, He's going to glorify the Son of God. Amen. And if we've ever needed to lift Him high, we need Him higher than He's ever been before in our lives. Because when He gets high, everything abased bows down, worships at the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Do you know that God is as big as you think of Him? In your life, God is omnipotent. He's everywhere. You can't get away from Him. He fills every corner, every crevice of every, amen, crack. Amen. It's God. Amen. I'm here. He's God. I'm over here. He's here. Amen. One preacher said, He is neither coming nor going. He's there. Amen. I'm not waiting on Him to get here. He's already here. He's everywhere. We just got to give Him in His manifested state. Amen. And show Himself to us. Hallelujah. Amen. I preached one time on God is locked up in prison. Folks opened their mouths, shut their Bibles, got upset with me. What are you going to preach? Some new doctrine? No! Amen. You, God, cannot do. Amen. God can only do what you will allow Him to do in your life. God can do anything, but He has to have a willing vessel out of you. Come on now. So looking at it like that, the revival depends on how much we really want Him. Woo! Sister Collins said, if the highway gets quiet, they're absorbing. So smile at me. Let me know you're absorbing. All right? Amen. We're living in a time, in an age, even where folks are coming to the house of God, singing in choirs, preaching in pulpits, teaching Sunday schools, amen, with their heart in a backslid condition. We judge men oftentimes by outward appearance because that's what we see. But before a person begins to, amen, put on and, amen, take off, amen, they're already backslid in their heart. Amen. This message I want to preach just a little while here tonight. Amen. When I was here a few weekends ago, amen, I got Sister Lynn, I believe it was, to help me with some illustrations, and I didn't get to use it the night that I thought I was here. Amen. And I didn't preach the message over at Dryden Road. I used the illustration one night. I jumped up and stuck it up. But I want to preach tonight on starving. I will do anything for the fire of the Holy Ghost. When you say, I will do anything that goes beyond, amen, anything that you know, you better know what you're saying. Amen. God may have you crawl around the building. Amen. Just to see how hungry you really are for the move of the Holy Ghost in your life. How many would like to leave here tonight totally, amen, surged by the power of God? Amen. Come on, we've got churches, amen, beautiful churches. And here I am standing on the great platform of the Highway of Holiness Church. Amen. The great singers that you have, and amen, the beautiful piano and the organ, amen, the drums, the guitars, amen, the microphones, amen. We've got everything that we seem to need, amen, to have revival, amen. But we are lacking one thing, and that is the fire of the Holy Ghost to burn in our prayers, burn in our singing, burn in our testimonies. We've got preachers that can preach with such eloquency, amen, they don't even need the Spirit of God. Come on now. Amen. They get up and they talk, amen, and can say it in such words, come on now, that it will erupt the place into shouting and hooping and hollering, only to say when the amen's over, they're the same way they were when he got finished, because there was no fire. Amen. Amen. There's a, amen, a colored preacher, amen, and preaching, and the wholeness preachers are going crazy over. Amen. I love to read his books myself. Amen. Listen to his tapes. Amen. I was riding down the road, and I'd been preaching for this preacher. Amen. This Church of God preacher was riding down the road. He said, "Do you think he's anointed?" Amen. With all that on him, all them rings, come on now. Amen. And he put me in a rock and a hard place. I said, "I really don't think that he's anointed. I just think he's got a mind, amen, like I ain't never heard before. He can come up with things. Come on now." Amen. He gets in deep. Amen. Come on now. And when you've had deep things, amen, nothing any less than what you've already got is going to satisfy you. Come on now. Amen. But when he gets finished, is there any change in our lives? We need more than a feel good. We need more than a feel better. We need the fire of God to fall at the highway tonight and burn all, come on now, and burn away every sin and high thing that is exalted itself in our life. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord said the Spirit of God, amen, told John here, amen, John on the Isle of Patmos, seeing things like man can never see. Even the Bible said, and the angel said to John, to the Laodicean church, write these things. Amen. And the Spirit said, amen, to him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. You see, we could shout tonight. I think, boy, the highway is ready for revival. Come on now. But the Spirit knows where we are at. Amen. The world can read our reports, but God knows where you're at. Amen. You can put it on, amen, and look just as holiness as you want to be, but God knows exactly where your heart is. Come on now. Amen. I was reading this evening in an illustrated book that I just bought, amen, the other day, and it said Dr. A.G. Wright, amen, I believe it was his name, amen, said that he was to some preacher meeting or service, and he told the pastor, said, "I'm going to be in the evangelist quarters praying," said, "until time for church, send somebody to knock on the door and tell me when it's time." Amen. And the pastor sent a little girl down there. It said about the time she got to the door, she heard him praying. Amen. And he was saying, "I'm not going unless you go with me." Amen. He's talking to the Holy Ghost. "I'm not going to preach unless you go with me." She didn't know who he's talking to. Amen. She ran back and she said, "He's a coming and the other one's coming with him." Hallelujah. Amen. The story said that when A.J. Wright stepped in the pulpit, the power of heaven came down and the other one come. And oh God, help me every time I step in this pulpit, not to be by myself,
but the other one coming with me. Amen. I want to tell you here tonight, it is God's desire it's God's desire to move at the highway like he has never before. It is God's desire, some of you gray-haired grandmas and gray-headed granddaddies, to receive the fire that at one time blazed in your heart and blazed in your testimony and blazed in your life. It is God's desire tonight to bring down the fire once again. Come on now. But we've got to get so hungry or to the point of starving that we will do anything just to have him here and just to feel his power and to feel his touch.
Pulled in on Saturday night, so around 1 o'clock in the morning, start revival Sunday morning. Had a good meeting. People prayed. Sunday night, started revival. Holy Ghost moved and helped this man in the back of the church. Stood up and said, I need prayer. Pastor went back and got to praying for him. Somewhere around 6:30 that night. Woo! Somewhere around 12 o'clock, we finally calmed down. The pastor turned around and looked at me and he said, if we want to have a revival, it's got to start right here. Come on. And he started with himself. And that pastor laid in the middle of that floor on his belly and wept and cried and said, oh God, set the pastor on fire. Oh, come on now. Set the pastor on fire. After an hour and a half of wallowing in the floor and a weeping and crying. Amen. I said, God, the head controls in the floor wallowing. Amen. It's just me and you. Amen. Come on now. I was having to take care of the service. Amen. Praying for folks. Amen. When he got up, he went to every deacon person. Woo! Every board member, every trustee. And he said, before we can have revival, you have got to get revived. Amen. And at one time on Sunday night, amen, 15 of his men laid under the power of the Holy Ghost. At one time, come on now, you're bound to have revival. Come on now, when you get the preachers on fire, come on here, help me while I preach. Oh God, I don't need another illustrated message. I need the fire to fall while I'm preaching. I need the glory of God to blaze in our lives. Amen. How many is tired of where you are and you want to move from where you're at to where God wants you to be? Well, get up from where you're at, dust yourself off, and say, Mr. Devil, I'm sick and tired of this cold and empty feeling. Spirit of God, you know where I'm at. You see some folks, amen, you say, man, they shouted. I watched one preacher one time, amen, who was messed up in our ranks. I watched him one night shout the 2 hours, amen, all over the platform at the camp meeting, amen, and then found out before I could even get home, amen, that he messed up the very next day, amen. Come on now, the Spirit of God knows where our hearts are at. Revival is not revival unless your heart is stirred and moved. Sister Collins looked at me this morning. She said, Brother Greg, I wanted to let you know before we start. She said, if the highway gets quiet, we're just absorbing. Amen. She said, sometimes we don't shout every service. Amen. Because I'm used to saying, come on, help me while I preach. But I'm not necessarily wanting you to scream. I just want to know you with me. Smile. Amen. Sister Collins says, amen. I look at Sister Collins. I said, Sister Collins, I learned, amen, after I first started preaching, I judged every revival by how we shouted. If we didn't shout, we didn't have revival. If we didn't flip and flop in the floor, we hadn't had a revival. Amen. Until I heard Benny Sullivan preach, amen, and he preached just as slow, and he preached about 45 minutes, and when he got finished preaching, I didn't shout, I didn't run, but my heart was stirred, and I realized that revival ain't in the shout, in the run or the flip-flopping. The revival is in a changed heart, a stirred heart,
Amen. And the only thing that's going to move God's people is the fire to fall once again. Come on here. Raise your hands and ask God to send the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Raise your hand and say, Lord, you know my heart. You know where my heart's at. You know what condition I'm in. Change my ways. Here's where churches are. When the shout comes, we're in our Christian experience. And when we get finished shouting, we're still here. Come on now. Shouting only makes you feel better. Shouting only makes you want more. Come on now. Shouting necessarily don't move you. It just makes you hungry. Come on. Some of us tonight, God could wallow us all in the floor. But what we really need is old-fashioned, amen, coming back to God, devoting ourselves. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Amen. Tomorrow, amen, is when revival really starts. Amen. Not what happens tonight. Amen. Anybody can get in when the Spirit's moving. Amen. But tomorrow when you're at your house, and the Spirit's not necessarily there, and God's put a hunger in your heart, and a desire in your life to pray. Amen. That's what moves. Come on now. Amen. Feel better. Whoa. Thank you, Jesus. But I'm still here. Bless me again, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But I'm still here. Bless me again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No. What God is wanting us to do is not only do this, but to do this number. Come on now. Amen. I'm tired of this place I'm in. I'm moving out. I'm packing my bags. I'm leaving town. I'm not staying where I'm at. God, you know my heart, and I'm a starving for the fire of the Holy Ghost. I'm a starving for the Holy Ghost to fall.
Priest said, dry and roll the other night on, get out of town. Jesus led the man out of Bethsaida, blind man, led him out of town before he would heal him. Why did he do it? Because God had cursed Bethsaida. And God said, I can't heal there. And I no longer bless you there. Come on now. Because Bethsaida, Jesus said in Matthew 11, I believe it is, he said, it'll be better in the day of judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for you, Bethsaida. Amen. For the simple reason, you've not only rejected John the Baptist, but you've rejected Jesus Christ. Come on now. So Jesus led him out of town. Why did he do so? Because God can't bless you in the cursed place. Amen. Come on now. And I want to tell you, it's another preaching message for sanctification. God can't bless you like he wants to until you cut ties with the world. Oh, come on here. Help me while I preach. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, why sanctification? I'll tell you why. You ought to want to be sanctified. If you lose 1 ounce of sanctification, you have lost the power of God in your life. Come on now. There's a lot of folks speaking in tongues but don't have the power because they lost their sanctification a long time ago. Oh, God, sanctify the highway again. Oh, God, sanctify me again. Lord, purge me. Cleanse my mind. Cleanse my heart. My heart's so full of the filthiness. Come on, of the flesh. Oh, God, I've got caught up in my job. I've got caught up with my possessions. I need an old-fashioned sanctified message or sanctification experience. It's in God. You see, the fight is inside you. Come on now, because we're all born with the nature of Adam. When we're saved, he washes our sins away. But when sanctification comes, He purifies our soul. Come on now. And so therefore, we're no longer struggling in the inside of our being. But now, the power of the hell is on the outside fighting you. Come on now. That's what sanctification is. When you lose the desire for all things of the world. Come on now. And you're no longer fighting on the inside of you. Because your flesh, come on now. But now the enemy's having to come to you from the outside. And because you're sanctified, you've got the power to say, no. No, 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 I will not. I will not do it. I will not go. Come on here. Help me while I preach a little bit highway. Amen. We all, amen, are not. Amen. This ain't some new thing to us. Amen. Sanctification is right. It's what brings the power of God every time. It's what will bring it today. And if we don't have it, we won't have revival unless we have old-fashioned sanctification in our meeting. Woo! That ain't popular preaching on the first night, is it? Sunday night or second night. Preacher, you're going to run us all over. Some of you is already doing this number. Come on now. You ready to go? You ready to got your Bible under one arm? You ready to walk out? Come on here. But oh God, give us such a starving desire. Amen. That we forget being sophisticated. Come on now. Having our hair in place. Amen. Preaching it just right. Come on now. And we get so starving that we're willing, God, if I have to mess my hair up, if I have to get my shirt wrinkled, if I have to get down on the floor and wrestle, I've got to have revival. I've got to have a move. I'm starving and nothing's going to satisfy me until I get to where you're at. And the Spirit knows where you're at. I may think you're somewhere, but God knows where you're at. I prayed 2 hours today, but God knows where you're at. The Spirit knows. For 3 weeks we shouted at Dryden Road. Amen. But the last 2 nights, God stopped the whole meeting again and the conviction fell. Come on now. Amen. Because folks had only felt better and had not got a changed heart. Oh God, help me preach just a little while here tonight. Amen. What's the first thing we've got to do to get the fire? Come on now. Amen. I want to tell you something here tonight. The first thing Elijah did before he could bring fire down on Carmel. Come on, he had been through the dry spell. Amen. God said, you get down yonder to such and such place. And when you get there, I shall feed you with the ravens. And when he got through and he got there, God met with him. Amen. The next few verses, God said, now when you get there, amen, I'll command the little woman to feed you. And when Elijah got there, God blessed him. Come on now. So the object is in getting there. Where's there? It's where God wants us. Come on now. And God's saying, come here. Come here. Come right here. Come on, because he's already there. So therefore he said, come here. And we're there. He said, come here. Come on now. Help me while I preach just a little while here tonight. We're going to bless me right here, God. Touch me right here, God. Move on me right here. And God said, no, you've got to get up and come here. Amen. Elijah stepped on the scene and the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, go meet Ahab. In other words, confront the enemy in your life. Come on now, this is what God gave me. The first thing Elijah had to do was confront Ahab. Confront the enemy. Had to meet with his enemy, which was Ahab. which wanted to get rid of him, wanted to mess him up. Even and when they met, Ahab looked at Elijah and said, "Why doest thou trouble Israel?" Even Elijah in his boldness said, "Hey, mister, it ain't you. Come on, it ain't me that's troubling Israel. It's you that's troubling Israel. Because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord. And you're the one that's brought this bondage." And the first thing that we've got to do in the highway in this revival is to confront the enemy. Who is the enemy? Come on, you want me to tell you who the enemy is? I'll tell you who the enemy is. Right there. Mr. Greg Atkins, you are your number one enemy. Come on now. It ain't my brother, it ain't my sister, but it's you, boy. You're the one that needs the power of God. You're the one. Come on here, help me while I preach. Just a little while. It ain't so-and-so's fault that you don't have it no more. It ain't that one's fault that you don't have it no more. It ain't because of such and such you don't have it no more. It's because your own self has allowed yourself to get in the seat that you are in. But preacher, you don't know what happened a year or two ago. Amen. Oh, I know I don't. But I know where the enemy lies. The enemy lies right there in that mirror. Come on now. Amen. The enemy's looking me back in the face. And the enemy saying, "You boy, you boy, you boy, you boy." I'm saying, "God, you know such and such happened. And you know my best friend's just backslid. And you know another one of my best friends has just backslid. God, I can't. I'm just going to sit down and ease up because of that." And God looks at me and said, "I know you. It ain't that. Even it's your fault. You're where you're at." Come on, you might as well help me. I'm going to preach this anyway. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, until you start confronting the number one enemy in your life, you'll never have revival. Until you admit that it ain't your wife, and it ain't your husband, it ain't because of your children, it ain't because of that sister across the church, or that brother over there. It is your own fault. You are lacking in the power of God. It is your own fault. You don't have it. I met folks that are so bitter, so envious, and they blame it all on that. When it boils down to it, it is here. Right here. When a preacher or any man, woman, boy, or girl begins to wrestle with himself, then he can become something for God. Come on, when so-and-so looked at me, I said, "Oh, I feel like the Lord's called me to evangelize." One of our preachers and our deacons in our church looked back at me and he said, "What makes you think God's going to use you? I've been sitting here for 20 years. Come on now, what makes you think God's going to bless you? You ain't been saved but 5. Come on now. Amen. He said it just right. I've been sitting here for 20 years. I've been sitting right here. Come on now. I've had young preachers walk up to me. Amen. I are supposed to be preachers. They said, "Brother Greg, I want to get out and start evangelizing. How do you do it? How do you get started?" I said, "Well, let me ask you something. Amen. How many messages have you preached?" He said, "Well, I can't quite preach one yet." Come on now. Amen. I said, "Until you can let God use you in the home church, you'll never be used anywhere else." Amen. "But I can't preach in my home church. They know me." Amen. "They know me. They know my ways." Come on. Yes, sir, they do. It's harder to preach at the home church, but that is the best preaching ground you'll ever preach on, is in your home church. My God, I feel like preaching here tonight. I want to tell you, when you're looking at folks who know you, when you're out of state, nobody knows you. Come on now. Help me while I preach. They know my ups and downs. But when you can walk in your home church, walk in and you preach and God use you and they love you. Come on now. Help me while I preach and God uses you to move your home people. Help me just a little while here. Why? Even they know my fightings. And where's the number one problem? It's Greg Atkins that I'm fighting. It ain't L.L. Collins. It ain't Benny Sullen. It's Greg Atkins I've got a problem with.
that. Amen. Greg Atkins, you need revival. Greg Atkins, you need the Holy Ghost. Greg Atkins, you need the fire of God to burn in your life.
I'm going to tell you, you ain't got a hurling this week. I'm not here to petty kick you. If you just want a preacher to preach, amen, and you smile and you come to the altar and pray 5 minutes and me go home and be happy, you got another thing coming. I'd rather be dead in the pulpit and have a move of God in the altar service, amen, come on here now, than to preach like the preaching, amen, house is on fire, amen, and nobody move. I'm not here just to shout. I'm here to have revival. I'm not here to play with you. If I want to play, I'd be going home. I could be resting this week, but I want to be here because I'm one. And revival starts here. Drawing the circle with chalk. I told you last night, Gypsy Smith said the way to have revival is to lock yourself up in a room, take a piece of chalk, draw a circle around you, and say, God, send revival to the middle of this circle. Not over yonder, not over there. Start right here. And when he gets finished with there, you can come out of that circle, walk into this house in the glory and the power of God, fall in this building again. I want to tell you, the God of heaven knows where the holiness church is. We are living in the Laodicean church age. The Laodicean church age was a lukewarm age. What is lukewarmness? It's feeling like everything's okay. It's being satisfied and not being touched. It's being satisfied and not being moved. Come on now. I preach revivals. Amen. Where's people that are supposed to have been deacons who hadn't moved in 10 years? The Holy Ghost fell on them and they said, I thank God. Come on now. Had a boy the other day at John Road. Been going there for about a year or two now. Amen. About a year praying in the altars. Amen. He's not emotional type. Stood up in the first, Eric was talking about it last night. Quiet boy. Amen. Stood up and said, I wanted the church to know I really haven't been saved. He said, I've just been praying, but I've not been willing to give my heart to God. He said, but the other night, the Spirit of God come on me. And he said, I gave my heart to God. Come on now. That's why you're having problems. That's why you can't hardly say no. Amen. To sin, you've not given your heart wholly, totally to God. That's why young folks come down and pray. And the next day or two, they're not back. They only come on service and pray. They didn't get saved. They didn't give their heart to God. Come on now, help me while I preach. Just a little while, he stood up and said, I have not been saved. Everybody's mouth hung open. He lives holiness. He's got his sleeve linked. He's got everything down pat. But he said, I've not been saved. He said, but God saved me, sanctified me, and a few nights later baptized him with the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. Come on here. Whoa! That's revival. Come on now. I said, that's revival. And what some people need to do is rise up, go to the mirror of their spiritual life and say, big boy, why don't you quit acting like you really got it? Big boy, why don't you quit acting like you really are full of the power of God? Why don't you admit you don't have it? Well, preacher, you're our evangelist. I want to tell you, the more I admit I don't have it, the more I get what I'm wanting. Come on now, help me while I preach. Wow! The more I admit, and as long as I can see I don't have the fullness of God, amen, I can keep getting more and more and more and more. And the reason why you can't get is because you're so full and you think you don't need nothing. You're rich and increased with goods. But God is a saying, know you not that you are wretched, poor, miserable. You know you're not happy. You know your experience ain't happy. The folks that are miserable, if they don't come to church, and they're miserable if they do. Lukewarm. The worst position of a Christian is a lukewarm one. The number one question is, can a lukewarm Christian go to heaven? Are they saved? And I quote to you, unless you turn your heart back to God, He said, I will spew you out of my mouth. In the worst place to be spiritually ain't all the way out. It's to be halfway and don't know you really don't got it. Lukewarmness ain't a process that you're going through. Lukewarmness ain't a valley you're walking through. Lukewarmness ain't even a mountain you're climbing. Lukewarmness ain't a river. Lukewarmness, come on now. If lukewarmness was a valley, I'd tell you keep walking. If lukewarmness was a mountain, I'd tell you keep climbing. If lukewarmness was a river, I'd tell you to keep waiting on out. But when you're in lukewarmness, you're not going through lukewarmness. You've got there and you're stuck there till you admit that you are there. Oh God, heaven help me! And the only way to get out of it is to stand up and say, I am lukewarm and I need revival. Come on here now. Amen. Devil says, boy, you're going to mess your crowd up. That's all right. I preached the 20 before. Come on, it won't bother me. Hallelujah. Come on now. 3 weeks of revival. Dry road ain't been 3 weeks, they said, and they don't know when. Can't even remember. Amen. They said, Brother Greg, we'll have a dead revival the third week if we go 3 weeks. Guess what? We went 3 weeks. It separated the men from the boys. We found out who had a burden, who didn't. We found out who had a hunger, who didn't. We found out who loved God, who didn't. And guess what? He blessed us every night of last week. Amen. Greater than He did the other 2 weeks. Why? Because God seen some folks that were hungry enough and starving enough. Help me while I preach just a little while here tonight, Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, amen, we need to get to the point. How do we say, Mr. Atkins, you're the problem. You're the reason. You got to get down. How long caught you between two opinions? Amen. Come on now. Mr. Atkins, how long haunts you between two opinions? How long do you got your foot in one bed in the world and your other foot in the bed of God? Come on now. Amen. Preacher, you a crazy preacher preaching to yourself. I want to tell you that more preachers would preach to themselves. Come on now. And more laity would realize, amen, that it lies right here. Get your mirror out and say, right here you are. You need revival. Who do you see in there? Sir? Do you see anybody else? Who do you see in there? Sir? Where's the problem? Who do you see? Who needs to fire the Holy Ghost? Who needs to change? Who do you see? Who do you see? Who do you see? Come on here. Man, preacher, you crazy. Who do you see? Who do you see? Yourself. We're about to have revival. You thought it would start with shouting, but we're about to have revival here at the highway. Amen. Because we're just about to get realizing who we're fighting. Ooh, God. Ooh, that is revival in itself. God, you know my heart. This kind of preaching, this kind of message, lukewarm message, preaching on lukewarm is a heart searching message. Reach the heart and you'll display its hidden weaknesses and woes. That's where the problem is. Perhaps we can find the way to deliverance if we can find out where the problem is. Here. Many of men are lukewarm and don't know they are. They're there. A lukewarm man places his attention on what has less value. Come on here now. And lets the higher go unthought of. Oh, I feel the Lord here tonight. You're not flipping over the pews. But if somehow or another God could strike a hunger in your soul. How did Azusa Street start? A few women decided to pray extra after church. They decided to pray more than what they usually did. And guess what? God got in the arrangement. Because a few people got stirred up. Ooh. That means on this Sunday night, revival could break out in such a way